Hi, I'm Bonnie Landry, and welcome to Make Joy Normal. With my co-hosts, Celia Smith and Christina, and the guests we have on our show, we would like to share the opportunity to walk with you. We're so grateful for all the listeners and for all the questions and the comments that we get on our show. We're just so thankful that you are tuning in and you have a desire to make joy normal in your own life. As part of your daily walk, we hope that we can support you in this. We ask that if this has been valuable to you, that you share, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out so that we can help others make joy normal too.
Good afternoon, Elizabeth. Good afternoon,
hi,
to all our listeners. So glad to get together with you. And I have no idea what we're talking about today.
I'll be full of surprises for you.
Yeah, exactly. I can edit this out, but do you want to let listeners know?
Oh, I mean, yeah, sure. That's fine.
Okay. Spill your beans. Spill your surprises.
All right. We are welcoming a sixth baby in September.
I'm so excited. September's a big month in our household. I'm September, Albert September. We have two September grandkids and one September son-in-law. It's a big month.
Yeah.
So you're going to hit one of our birthdays for sure.
Well, as it stands, I mean, you know, when does a baby ever arrive on the due date? Mm-hmm. But so far I have June, July, August, and then maybe a September. Yeah. And if not September, then I'll have October, November, December. So.
Right. My first four kids, I had one in the spring, one in the fall, one in the winter, one in the summer. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice, you know. Yeah. But then I got, you know, ended up with three in the winter and a couple in the summer and whatnot.
So. Yeah. We just like to stack them all together, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, we have a good, several months in the end of winter, early spring where nobody's celebrating. But that's
all. Well, congratulations. And we just ask our listeners to pray for you and keep you at the top of their pregnant mom's prayer list.
Yes, thank you. I would appreciate it.
Yeah, so you have some questions.
Yes, I do, actually. I have to say, I always want to be careful because a lot of the questions I come up with have to do with what's happening in my own home life.
Yeah, which is great, right?
Yeah, but I want to be careful as so that listeners don't think that I'm, you know, complaining or slamming my kids or my family life. You know, it really is just... nobody gives a book on, you know, how to parent or how to homeschool, because the thing is that every child is different. What works for one is not going to work for the next. And so it's just like walking through a minefield.
Yeah. To be adaptable. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I mean, I think that's why it's so important to have friendships that you can just kind of lay it all out there. And a lot of times we're guarded because like our parents or our whoever doesn't agree with our choices. So we can't say, yeah, having kind of a bad time, not really working, because you know what they're going to say, right? Oh, you know, put them in school.
Right.
And, you know, if that's not how we necessarily need to be supported. And I mean, for some people that is the right decision, you know, we just want to be supportive. So it's good to have people that you can, so every mom out there needs someone she can say, yeah, this is what I'm struggling with right now. Or this is what my kid is doing right now. Cause you know, we've all been there. Right.
Right. So all of my questions come from a perspective of, I love my kids and my family and help me with this issue that I'm facing.
Right.
So I guess the first question I have is how to not, like, how would you advise moms or dads not to compare the progress of their children with other peers? You know, because you can have kids that are in the school system that are doing better than homeschool children and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it is very easy for me to sit back and think, well, that kid is 7 and reading Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And my 7-year-old is really struggling. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, part of it is just perspective, remembering that kids in the school, some of them are avid readers at 7. Some of them it takes till they're 10, 11, 12 before they're really, really get rolling on reading to themselves. They probably can sound out words or whatever, but it just takes time. So perspective really matters. But remind yourself. So just here's a little thought, like that he's really struggling. If we can prevent ourselves from thinking that, do you know what I mean? He's on his own path, right, as opposed to he's on a struggling path or the wrong path or whatever, because it all gels at some point, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we really need to be in the same way that we have our own unique strengths and weaknesses and all of that, we really need to give our kids a lot of space to just be on their own timeline and be on their own path. And I think really, in a sense, it has to be almost a daily reminder, is that this unique individual has strengths and weaknesses, and they do have to learn to read, and they do have to learn some math, and they do have to do these things. But what are their strengths? Those things are going to come, and they're going to come slower than other kids maybe. But what are the strengths that they have? And let's really focus on building them up about that, right? And giving them opportunity for that, like if they're really mechanical or if they're really athletic or whatever it is, you know, and still just kind of keep plugging away at the things that are harder, a little bit of practice every day, 5, 10 minutes, you know, and that drip, drip, drip approach is incredibly effective, but it takes time because it respects their timeline, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my oldest daughter was reading super young, 3 and a half, she was reading. By the time she was, you know, 5, 6, she was reading novels. And I couldn't even believe it. I didn't teach her that, but I could not have stopped her, mm-hmm. right? It was just going to happen. And some of my kids, it was just a long, long, I've told you, my one son really wasn't fluently reading till he was 12, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, that's a massive range.
Yeah.
But fortunately, he was my fifth. And so it was like, okay, I can relax. I know it's going to come, and I'm going to focus on his strengths. You know, when for him, his strengths weren't, he was athletic, but he was just a really incredibly empathetic kid. Mm-hmm. So that was something that we just needed to talk about a lot and give him opportunities to just really shine in his human relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And just appreciate that about him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's hard, right? That's less tangible than like, oh, he's really mechanical. Let's give him a bunch of building stuff. Let's give him a bunch of bike to work on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, you know, something where we have to just kind of step back and say, okay, what are their strengths? What do they love? What are their passions? Mm-hmm. Let's plug away at the hard things, and really focus on their strengths, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because I think for me, I try not to worry. I feel like I've been under your mentorship long enough to know that I recognize that maybe they don't have it now, but they will get it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm starting to see where other kids notice and make comments that kind of make other kids feel bad about where they are.
Yeah.
And
like within the family or kids outside the family.
If I hear any of my kids commenting, I nip that in the bud right away.
Yeah, I think that's
right. But other kids too. Like I have, one of my sons is not a strong speller.
Right.
And gone back to the basics with the All About Spelling program. Right. And he hates it because it's using letter tiles, which seems just so babyish and mundane.
Right.
But I've recognized we just can't skip anything because somewhere he's a visual learner to some extent. And anyway, and he wants to do these brackets. You know, have you ever seen the brackets where it's like all the Disney movies and you have to pick between two and then it narrows it down and narrows it down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so he has found out about brackets. And so he's very excited and he wants to do brackets with some of the guys after mass. And I'm kind of worried for him because of how atrocious his spelling is.
Yeah.
With these other kids that probably are very good at spelling.
Right.
And so it's like, I want to protect him.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
he probably doesn't want you hovering around either. Right.
Right. Well, and I also don't want to put that in his head either. Cause I haven't said anything to him, you know, implying, but I just wish more kids were more, like, oh, I see you're struggling with spelling. Let me help you with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think if we ever hear peers saying something, you know, unkind or even just like pointing it out, I mean, if we hear them saying something helpful, then lift them up about that. It's like, wow, that's a really helpful thing. Thank you. Yeah. Struggling is, his spelling is something that, that's taking a little longer for him to gel. Any tips you have or whatever, that's great. Thank you for that. But if we hear them saying, that's not how you spell that, just say, yeah, he's learning. So it's his own timeline. You know, the more you, in a sense, play it down. So even if it's in front of him, she says, he'll eventually learn. I'm not worried. You know what I mean? If you sort of make sure that the person who says something, you know, understands that this is a, it's just not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, often kids that are, you know, in a sense, it's light, I understand, but kind of shaming other kids or making fun of other kids are experiencing that themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we just make it not a big deal, then that maybe we're teaching them a skill too, right? That they can, you know, and some kids just don't care. Like whatever. Whatever. It's not spelled right. And some, you know, there are adults that I know who can't spell very well.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that some people, it's just kind of a mental block. Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Right. We have spell check, and it's just one, if he continues to be a poor speller, what he has to learn is the skill of looking things up and making sure they're spelled correctly when he goes to hand something in or when he goes off to college or whatever. So that's something that, you know, always do a double check and see if your words are spelled correctly. You know, we don't have to do that with every, you know, project they're working on, or every, if they're free writing or whatever they're doing, whatever writing they're doing, not a big deal. But there's games like Boggle and Scrabble and stuff where spelling matters, you know, and that might be a fun thing to start doing, is like, oh, you know, actually there's two T's in the middle of that word, not one, right? Or whatever. And, you know, just one of those little things you have to remember. And so there's ways that we can encourage them and build them up. But the truth is that sometimes I think some people just have a really, really hard time with spelling. And so spelling doesn't really make sense, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Pudua has a great video on spelling. I'm assuming it's on YouTube. If not on YouTube, then on their website. But he does like a talk on spelling that's so good. It's just so good.
Yeah, well, it's through his Institute for Excellence in Writing that I found the spelling program.
Okay, good. But listen to the talk, because basically the premise that he makes is spelling is just a matter of memorizing billions of random bits of information, right? There's no sense to it. It's no common sense. I mean, there are some rules. There's so many words that fall outside the rules, right? So, so it's a lot to expect a kid to memorize all those random bits of information. And so anyway, it's a really good talk. I think you'd really, really enjoy it.
I'll have to look it up.
I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes.
Well, I don't know if you had anything else to comment. Otherwise, it's a good segue into next question.
Next topic.
I think what we struggle with in our home the most is motivation with boys.
Right.
I have three boys that are very content with doing the bare minimum required or asked. And it's, you know, when you were saying, like, look up the spelling of words, I tell them to do that, you know, or if they're doing, you know, any copy work, like, let's say, for example, in a math word problem where they have to copy a sentence in the answer.
Right.
And there will be misspelled words. And my comment to them is, there shouldn't be misspelled words if it's right there for you to copy. Right.
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's no excuse for that. But they're just trying to get the work done so they can move on to playing.
Yeah.
And my dad had, growing up, a wonderful saying that has stuck with me, and now my kids are getting it drilled into them. And it's, work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
So get all of your work done, work hard, and then you can play.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of like a great principle to live by.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because we had three girls first and then three boys. Right. And so the girls were always like, Albert and I are hard workers. We set a good example. You know, we work hard, play hard, because we also think it would take lots of time for rest, and we make sure we have lots of social time and all of that, right? So I feel like it's an area of our life that feels really like we've done a good job of, for ourselves, but also of giving example. And the girls were always hard workers and conscientious, and they did their work, you know, like they were supposed to, and they were self-starting and all that. And then our boys come along, and it's like, what happened? Like we thought giving example was going to be kind of enough. Like what happened? They just, you know, they just want to do bare minimum. Yeah. Right. And what is that all about? So I would say two of our three boys were like that. One was more conscientious, but he had to also work harder to kind of keep up. Right. Yeah. But we were amazed. And, you know, as they got to be like 15, 16, 17, and we're like, come on, like, what's with these guys? But it just at some point gelled. Mm-hmm. Like they went off to college, and it was obvious that unless they worked hard, because they all were smart and they knew how to work hard,
yeah,
they just for a lot of time just kind of would do bare minimum, right? And I and they were smart too, so that was hard. I mean, hard in a sense because they can get away with a lot, right? Because they, you know, can finish the math lesson or whatever. But yeah, kind of bare minimum. And I don't know, it just took a long time to gel, but it did. Like they all are responsible, hardworking, self-starting guys now, right?
Yeah.
But I would say it really almost was more into the college years that it was all of a sudden like, oh, I really have to buckle down, right?
So, I mean, that's comforting and also
not long.
Like, I feel like it even goes to chores. Like, I will be very explicit with them and say, unload and load the dishwasher, please. Yeah. And I'll come back 10 minutes later. It's unloaded. Yeah. Every single dish is still all over the counter. Nothing was loaded, you know?
Yeah.
And this has been their chore for years.
Yeah.
And they still have not gelled.
Yeah. I use sort of a checklist system.
Yeah.
So I would print off a week, like it had every kid's name, and then I would have all the things they needed to get done, including their chores, right? So, you know, whatever that was, like their particular chore or, you know, brush your teeth and, you know, so I had a checklist and they seemed to really migrate towards that. They did well with the checklist.
Yeah.
Because again, they just wanted to get the checklist checked off so they could move on to the Lego or move on to the Playmobil or whatever, or the road hockey or whatever they were doing. But it was helpful because I think it was sort of a tactile visual. Okay, done. Right.
Yeah.
So that was something that was helpful, but I found they needed a lot more. Like if their job was say to, you know, unload and load the dishwasher, there'd be a lot of like, actually not done yet, you know, yeah. So they'd wander off, actually not done yet, like distractible and, needing a lot more, direction, not necessarily about what to do, but about just getting back to it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something I think valuable in that lesson that we just say, actually, you're not done. So, yeah, come on back. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back to your game as soon as you're done. So, yeah, come on back. Come on back. you know, and I think a lot of boys are like that. I do. I mean, some girls are like that, of course, and some boys are not like that. Some are very hardworking and conscientious, but, you know.
Yeah.
But as much as we can, try not to let them get distracted. Like if you see them starting to leak away, just like, oh, okay, wait a second. No, that's not finished. Right. Yeah. You know, and rather than having them get distracted on something completely and then like, ah, it's so hard to come back. Right.
Right.
So if we can kind of be, we don't necessarily have to be supervising everything they do, but if we can be present and doing, you know, maybe working alongside them or doing something alongside, like, no, you're not finished yet. There's still the cutlery to do or whatever. Right.
Right.
You know, and of course we have to be kind about it, you know, which is the hard part.
Yes. I feel like I have a lot of patience until like the fifth to seventh time I have to say something and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Cause I usually just feel like I'm doing the chores for seven people.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if it would be a helpful thing, like in terms of training, if a checklist was like, say they have a regular chore they do every day, that you just had a checklist and broke that chore down, mm-hmm. like unload the cutlery and put it away, unload the bottom rack and put it away, unload the top rack and put it yeah. away. Then put all the cutlery in, like really break it down into like really bite-sized chunks. So then when they, you know, say I'm done, and then maybe something like, you know, okay, let me know when you're done and I'll tell you if you're really done. And then, okay, well, is everything on the checklist checked off? Right. That might be helpful and take it out of your having to be top down, if you know what I mean. Like the, you know, all the little steps are done, because it's easy to, you know, forget all the steps, right? And I mean, it sounds ridiculous, I know, when they've done something over and over again, but
yeah it's I feel like my house always looks like a zoo because I cannot get on top of all of the chores I don't know about you, I'll clean a room and it'll look pretty decent, and I'll go to the next room and I'll come back 5 minutes later and it does not look like I've done a thing.
Right.
Because they all come back in and they all play and then they don't, you know, I feel like we've been instilling in our kids for forever, before you move on to the next thing, put away, and it is not ingrained in them yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on the kid. I mean, sometimes it just takes a really long time. I mean, parenting takes a long time. Raising a human takes a long time, right? It's supposed to, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard when we sort of feel like we're living in chaos or whatever, you know, and it's perfectly okay, Elizabeth, you probably do this anyway. It's just, you know what, if you find there's things that constantly get left out, puzzles or games or whatever, just put them away for a while.
Yeah. So,
you know what, guys, I'm just tired of harping about it. I just can't do that anymore. So I'm going to just put it away. And we'll revisit that in a few months and see what happens. But right now it's not working for me.
Yeah.
Right.
I have another kind of funny question. And maybe some of the listeners will find this amusing. But I was talking with another mom from my parish. And she said, does anybody else have pencils all over their house all the time? And it's like any of the homeschooling moms were like, yes, actually, we like, I find pencils in the weirdest places.
Right. Like between the couch cushions and stuff like that.
Yeah. Bathroom, like just all over the place. And I'm just constantly picking up pencils, and now it's humorous. It's not even that annoying, but it's just, so I don't know if you had that problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, all kinds of random stuff everywhere. And the kids, like, I don't know, when they were doing Lord of the Rings cards, and you know, you'd find it was just constantly find or game pieces. Oh my gosh. I actually started a system where I kept a big jar for random game pieces. And that's, if I found them, that's where I put them. And so the kids knew if they were missing a game piece in a game that I had them in the jar, because I'm not going to go and spend the time to find the game and put it in the game. So I thought, you know what? Nope. Game piece jar. And so random cards, game pieces, dice, anything like that, it all just went in the game pieces jar.
I do that with a pencil box.
Right.
You know, it's so funny to me because the kids will be playing a board game, which is great. Love that.
Yes, exactly. So good for them.
And then when they're finished, I'll say, check the floor for game pieces. It is very apparent that they do not check, because I will barely glance and I can see, you know.
No, I think what they do is go like this, you know, they just kind of, you know, gaze around them in some vague way, but they don't actually get down and look and see.
Right. Which, they're more nimble. You'd think they could just pop down and look, but
yeah, no. Exactly. No, the pregnant mom can go down and look.
Right.
Yeah, but at least with something like a game piece jar, I have that too in my, like, then it takes just the having to put it away ourselves out of the equation. But they also, like, I have a little container. I have one in my bedroom. I have one sitting on my kitchen counter. This is just for the random stuff that I find, right? So if I find some change or, so, you know, something I don't even know what it is, or something that I don't know where it belongs because it's somebody else's, or a pair of nail clippers or something like that. I just have kind of a little junk bowl. Mm-hmm. And that's been really handy. I've kind of always done that, that my bedroom, my bathroom, on the kitchen counters have a little bowl. And then once in a while, if it gets kind of too full that it's spilling over, I just dump it out and think, okay, can some of this get thrown away, or does it belong to people? Or I'll put it out and say, hey, anybody, is this, does this belong to anyone?
Yeah.
And then I can, get rid of it or whatever. But, yeah, it's handy to have kind of a little catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I refuse to let it be a drawer because I just, an entire junk drawer just seems overwhelming to me.
Yeah. My aunt and uncle had a candy drawer growing up. That was fun. But junk drawers are something different because they're always going to remain junk drawers. Mm-hmm. There's not cleaning those out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Was there any other questions?
No. That was all I had. Should we
just wrap it up, be a short episode, and get on with our happy little lives again. Okay, how was your Easter, by the way?
It was it was good and not so good. My girls started a round of the stomach bug in our house. It was really weird because it hit one, and then it didn't hit the next till a week and a half later. Oh, so you think it's gone and out of the house, and it wasn't. Although, sorry to be gross, but it's a little amusing, and other families that are quite large might find this amusing, but my girls share a bed, like Little House on the Prairie style. It's a full-size bed. They're tiny. And one of my daughters got sick in the middle of the night all over her sister's head.
Oh my gosh.
And my youngest has curls, so that was a lot of fun. And they both slept through it.
Wow.
So we had to wake them up from deep sleeps and put them in the bath, which neither of them love the baths because they don't like getting water in their eyes or ears.
Yeah.
And so here they're rudely woken up. the whole neighborhood probably heard the screams. And
yeah.
So anyway, it actually hit my husband on Easter.
Oh no.
So, and he's actually, I don't think he ever gets man colds. Like he powers through stuff. I'm the one that's the weakling, and I'm laying in bed thinking I'm dying.
Yeah.
So he was around and about and then would sleep, but I made every portion of our Easter meal.
Right.
And it took a lot longer than it should have. So we didn't eat till like 8 p.m.
That's hilarious.
So it was a memorable
Easter for sure. Yeah.
How about you guys?
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, it was, in our terms, quiet, like we had sort of the family we normally have on a Sunday, but not extra people, right? So it was kind of quiet in that respect, but really lovely, beautiful vigil and all of that. So yeah, it was
great. Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Yeah. 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 So God bless, and we'll see you in probably in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.